You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
Today I want to talk about the history behind and sort of the emphasis behind the song Loving Us. It's from our CD, our album called Looking for a City, which if you would like to listen to it, you can find on Spotify or Amazon or YouTube, any of these streaming types of things. The album title is Looking for a City. I thought that I would talk about what I intended to be singing about, what I was writing about. And this song, Loving Us, is from the first chapter and a little bit from chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. Reading right now from the Tree of Life version, it speaks in chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And from the Messiah Yeshua," this revelation is coming from Jesus, "the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, Kohanim, priests, to his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever. Amen." When I was taking Greek, I found out that in verse 5, it's to him who loving us freed us. To him who loving us, while he was loving us, he freed us. His love for us was the motivation for freeing us from the power of our sins. The first verse of the song goes, "Loving us, you freed us from the power of our sins. Having shed your blood for us, you died and rose again." Loving us, you freed us. While he was loving us, he freed us from the power of our sins. In Luke, it speaks of him delivering his people from the power of their sins. In the birth narrative, in the prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus, it says that he would deliver his people from their sins. He freed us from the power of our sins, having shed his blood, having shed your blood for us, speaking directly to the Lord. It's difficult to speak to somebody who loved this intently, who loved this powerfully, giving up his life for us. He shed his blood for us. Loving us, you freed us from the power of our sins. Having shed your blood for us, you died and rose again. So in the second part of verse 5, this apostle, this seer, this prophet John, he attributes the activity of the Messiah, Jesus' saving work, to his love for us, to him who, loving us, freed us from our sins by his blood. And this is John's emphasis. John's emphasis in regards to the Messiah, Jesus, giving up his life for us, is the love that Jesus has for us. In John 17, the night that Jesus was betrayed, he prayed this way to the Father, "For their sake, for the sake of my disciples, I sanctify myself. I set myself apart to do your will." In the synoptics, he's setting himself apart to do the will of God, not my will, but yours be done. And in John gives the Messiah Jesus's innermost motivation as to why he chose the Father's will. "For their sakes, I sanctify myself." Again, John's emphasis, the love of the Messiah Jesus. Loving us, you freed us from the power of our sins. Having shed your blood for us, you died and rose again. Well, in verse 17 and 18 of chapter 1, John says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. But he placed his right hand on me, saying, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and the one who lives. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever. Moreover, I hold the keys of death and Sheol. I hold the keys of death and Hades." Wonderful, wonderful. This is so wonderful. I'm indebted to a woman in our congregation named Marianne. When Marianne brought this to me, I was struck by it. It seemed just so right. Here's John seeing the exalted Messiah, and he falls at his feet. This is a legit visitation. This is not just a vision. This is a visitation. He is being brought into the very presence of the one that he knew only in his resurrected and glorified state. He says, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And then it's written that Jesus placed his right hand on him. Well, Mary Ann said, he had to bend down to do it. He had to bend over or kneel in order to put his right hand on John to release strength to him, as he said, don't be afraid. And to us, this speaks of the Messiah Jesus' love that manifested itself in extraordinary humility. This is foot-washing humility. This is the type of humility of which we are astounded when we read about it in Philippians 2 as to how, although he existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God to be a thing to be held onto, but he emptied himself, he humbled himself, he became as a human being and offered himself up in the most humiliating way imaginable. Crucified, crucified, the Messiah Jesus crucified. And yes, he was dead, but then he says, look, I am alive forever and ever. Having shed your blood for us, you died and rose again. And then this doxology in the middle of the song, Lord, to you be the glory forever. Lord, to you be the power forever. And in verse 6, this is taken directly from verse 6. You have made us a kingdom of priests to your God, to his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever. This is a wonderful thing. You know, the Lord Jesus disregarded the glory that was due him in order to serve us by offering himself up as a sacrifice, and it is up to us to live for and to proclaim his glory. That's who it is that he is, the one who says, you are more important than my glory, and we say to him, Lord, your glory is more important to us than our lives. To you, worthy Lamb, you're the one who died and rose again. Moving into the next verse. To you, worthy Lamb, you're the one who died and rose. You live again. Come again, Son of Man, ruler over all the nations of the earth. In verse 12 of chapter 5, it says that the entire created order, all those who have the capacity to know God, are chanting with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. You're the one who died and rose, you live again, our lyrics. Again, looking into the words of John, his testimony, he wrote, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, but he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and the one who lives. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever. He is the one who died and rose. He is alive forever and ever. Moving on into this part of the song, come again, Son of Man, ruler over all the nations of the earth. In verse 7 of chapter 1, it's written, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even every one who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. And then, who is this one that is coming? Well, he's the Son of Man. In verse 12, John turned to look at the person who was speaking to him, and when he saw in the midst of the menorah. In the midst of the menorah, I saw one like a Son of Man. Let's just read this description. Clothed in a robe down to his feet, with a golden belt wrapped around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, white like snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of rushing waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came forth a sharp, two-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining at full strength. This is the Son of Man. Come again, Son of Man. This is the lyric. You're the one who died and rose. You live again. Come again, Son of Man, ruler over all the nations of the earth. Back into chapter 1 earlier, it says this letter, this revelation is coming from the Messiah, Yeshua, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. This is wonderful. That's who the Messiah Jesus is. Then we begin to go in the song into this chant, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, King Eternal. Hallelujah, Lord. And this is just like this chant in heaven. It says, every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, John heard them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Here's a good time to take a look at this question. Is the Messiah to be the object of worship? Yes, and that is the emphasis here in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 5. In chapter 4, we see an emphasis upon the worship of the Father. It says in verse 8 of chapter 4, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes all around and within. They do not rest day or night, chanting, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, who was and who is to come. And so in chapter 4, Father's holiness and eternity is praised. He is referred to as the Lord God of hosts, Heaven's war Lord. And in verse 11, it says, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, because you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. Glory, honor, power belong to you. You are the creator. Worship focused upon our Father. And then in chapter 5, we see something which I find to be surprising. Seven words of praise. In regards to our Father, it's glory and honor and power. You're worthy. Here in chapter 5 concerning the Lamb, verse 11 and verse 12, John looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, which is where the Lamb is situated with the Father, and the living creatures and the elders. Their number was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, and they were chanting with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Seven ascriptions of worship to the Lamb. I really wanted my congregation to remember these words. I wanted to remember them. Power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And so I wrote this tag in this song with those words. Power and riches and wisdom and might, honor and glory and blessing to you, Lord. I hope that when you hear this song, and you consider making it part of your worship vocabulary, that you also will memorize this seven, I feel a little bit spiritual, so sevenfold ascriptions of worship and praise to the living one, the one who, loving us, freed us from the power of our sins. Having shed his blood for us, he died and he rose again. He is the Lamb of God, and he is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And may our hearts be stirred to look forward to the day that the Messiah Jesus, who is the Holy Son of Man, spoken of in Daniel 7, when he returns, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing for the redeemed and for all of the earth. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus the Messiah is the Lord, is Yahweh, to the glory of God the Father. Here's the song.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord,
Love and War is written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David and Sam Iovino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the books God's True Love and For the Sake of the Fathers. To purchase copies of David's books, please go to loveofgodproject.org. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, from the album Combustion, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. For more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, God's True Love, or For the Sake of the Fathers, visit us on restorationfellowshipny.com, loveofgodproject.org, book.forthesakeofthefathers.com, or you can follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, Love and War DH, and For the Sake of the Fathers. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_DH@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean.